Welcome back to the Rick Smith Show. Now, here is Rick Smith.
Well, big news from Ohio. You're not going to have Rob Portman to kick around anymore. I guess he's not going to be seeking a third term in 2022. Kind of joining Pat Toomey. And look, I don't think this is, you know, his stated reason is, well, you know, things have just gotten, you know, too polarized and, you know, time to move on. No, I think he's looking at a massive challenge from the extreme right, which I think is going to be bad for Ohio if you get a crazy, even further right-wing nut job. But not going to have Portman to kick around anymore. And we'll see where it goes. Here to share some thoughts on, well, maybe what his thoughts on Portman going will be. I've asked our good friend, former congressman and political analyst, Bob Ney, to come talk with us. Bob, thanks for taking time.
Well, thank you, Rick.
So I guess not going to have Portman to kick around anymore. Is he running for governor? Is that the gig?
No, he's not running. I don't think he'll run for anything. I've known Portman forever, served with him, you know, in the House when I was there. And, you know, Rick, when people, over the years I've seen this, people will announce they're not going to run and immediately somebody, oh, they're sick, they had an affair, you know, there's a scandal, you know, whatever. And but sometimes people, you know, they don't want to be there anymore. And so in his case, you know, he's not sick, there's no scandal. He doesn't want to be there anymore with the conflict. He doesn't like conflict. Now, I know one would say, well, why did he get in politics? But he really never has been one of those people. And like I said, I've known him forever. But he hasn't been one of those people, Rick, that it's like, you know, okay, we're going to go head first into this. And, you know, he doesn't really like the conflict. And I think he knows, too, like you said, that there's going to be a challenge. And I think he's tired of it and he just wants to leave.
No, I got to be honest.
He won't run for anything else.
I got to be honest. I don't blame him. I mean, honestly and truthfully, you know, this has gotten to be, you know, really an ugly game. And it's not so much about, hey, what ideas do we have that are going to move the country forward? It's now scoring points. It's just purely a game.
Well, I was telling someone today who, obviously I had a lot of calls today asking me about Rob Portman. And I was telling somebody today, you know, when it gets to the point where, you know, people are storming the Capitol to kill you, maybe it's time to not be there.
Yeah.
I mean, really, I mean, I am sure he's gotten a ton of just hate mail, et cetera, that, you know, you get that when you're in office, but I think it must be just seriously overwhelming at this point in time.
Yeah, I mean, it's mm-hmm. You're right. I mean, you know, the craziness of the day that we're in. You know, do you see any way back from this? I mean, you know, I'm hoping that Biden does some things that helps make people's lives better. We get a the economy back on its feet. We get people the ability to lead better lives. You know, a chicken in every pot kind of mentality. Do you see any way back from this, or is this just going to get worse?
Well, I think it can get better, but I think we have to take a deep breath. You know, I put on my Facebook, congratulations to President Biden and Vice President Harris. I put that on my Facebook post, and I had people that came on, and I had some people that didn't support Biden that said, you're right, you know. And then I had people that came on my site and said, what on earth is wrong with you? Can you not see evil? And I had it. And, you know, people just, I don't know. They just are out there on some things. But, you know, maybe it's not going to get everybody, but maybe, you know, it will. Now, I will say that I've seen a couple of people have made statements on this that are on the progressive side that, you know, not everybody that voted for Trump is, you know, a goofball. Not everybody that voted for Trump wanted to kill people at the Capitol, you know.
I agree with that.
Yeah, and I knew you would, and I've seen some people on radio that are just getting out there trying to score some points, saying some things that's like, stop saying that. You know, we're not going to put people on crosses and burn them, okay? So That'll subside. I know that. And on the right side of it, you're going to have still people that are out there. You know, they're going to be denying that Biden, you know, won. But it's subsided with a lot of other people out there. So, do I think it's going to get back to where it was probably 15 years ago or 10 years ago? Right away, no. But let's just, you know, let's just see what happens. See if and a lot of it is going to be on to the shoulders of President Biden and Vice President Harris. And the reason I say that, the Senate's going to continue. They can't, I mean, right now they're not even functioning, right? But they're going to continue with this and that. Hopefully there'll be a bipartisan coalition that kind of says, okay, let's take a deep breath and at least put civility back in. That will go a long way. But I think that the president will be a big factor. I think he'll – I guess what I'm searching for, I think Biden will stay above the fray, okay? And that's good for leadership.
No, I agree with you. I'm mm-hmm. hoping. But here's the thing. Mm-hmm. I mean, he's wrinkling some feathers already. I mean, I look at today's executive order reversing the ban on transgender people in the military, and my first thought is, well, you know, we have more people in the military. That's a good thing. You've got the right wing who's just apoplectic over this. Mm-hmm. It's these issues that, you know, these kind of issues that the right has used masterfully to keep us pitted against each other that he's stepping on early. And look, he's got to do this, you know, for the folks on the base. Mm-hmm. But, you know, it's this kind of stuff where, you know, we're just not going to come together.
Well, that's true. I mean, Karl Rove, you know, the architect of Bush, once said, I don't know if this has ever appeared publicly anywhere, but, you know, when you're up against a wall, it's God's gun and gays. You know, and he said that once. So, you know, that's what they always pulled out. And on this one, people will freak out. But I think with a lot of people, they'll be like, okay, you know, all right. Now, what about COVID? What about the economy? And they'll look to see what he'll do on that. Because that's a big challenge, those two things for him right there.
No, those are the two big challenges.
That's it.
And something's going to have to get through the Senate at some point. And I look at you. You brought up. You know how dysfunctional and how they're not doing anything, and this is one of those things where you kind of gotta. Somebody's gonna have to take the lead on this. Is it not possible for Schumer just to go? We're gonna drive the car. We don't need McConnell to make the rules. I mean, is that not possible?
You know, they are so sanitized, not sanitized. They are so sanitized over there. Because I thought about this when it comes to Schumer with a 50-50 Senate. And, of course, you've got Vice President Harris to break the tie. At some point in time, if there's not going to be a deal, because right now the Senate is polarized, and then McConnell doesn't want to end the filibuster, of course. If McConnell was in the majority, he'd want to end the filibuster. It always runs that way. Both sides are hypocritical on that. But at some point in time, you're right about, leading. You can only look back. If you're driving the bus, you can only look back so much before you crash. And Schumer at some point in time is going to say, okay, this is the way it is. And because I love when the media builds up that they're going to use the nuclear option. They try to make it, like, all sexy, the nuclear option. Well, a nuclear option, that means you go back to simple majority. Instead of 60 people, you need 51, you know. It's ridiculous. I call it sanitized. So at some point in time, Schumer is going to have to say, okay, I reached out, I've tried, we're going to do now. We're just going to have a battle to be able to continue the function of the Senate.
No, I'm right there with it. But I think there's a compromise to be had here.
Sure.
I'm in favor of leaving a filibuster in place. Like Mr. Smith going to Washington. If you want a filibuster, hold the floor. Bring your empty jug, bring the phone book, and have at it. And then once you're done, once you've talked yourself out, once you've got laryngitis, once you've ended your dog and pony show, then we vote on it. But if you really are that against it, make your argument and keep making it. Until you get to the point to where you go, okay, it doesn't look like everybody agrees with me. Now we vote.
You know, the last great true filibuster. I mean,
Strom
when
Thurmond.
It was really, that's it, on the Civil Rights Bill. I think he went 24 hours and maybe one or two extra. Right, that was the last one where he actually did do that.
No, and I'm in favor of going back to that. Look, you can't, because correct me if I'm wrong here. You know, throughout the Obama term and you know, really through the Trump term, a single senator could hold everything up by saying, you know, they're against it, and we don't even know who they are half the time who hold it up for one reason or another. For me, look, you put your votes on the table. If you're against it, let's know about it. But you can't just be able to stop the process by not having any vote whatsoever.
And they and like you said, they could keep it a secret. Sometimes it got out, sometimes it didn't. And that's what I call sanitized, not sanitized. That's what I call sanitized. Sort of like the peacock farm when it's got, you know, these traditions. I mean, they really would hold to it. Well, we're not going to reveal who did it. I don't, you know, whoever was running the Senate. And those are things that are ridiculous. It's ancient thinking.
No, because for me, the reality is so much good labor legislation has died because one person has stopped it. I go back to, you know, the Clinton era when he was pushing the strike replacement bill through. It was Bob Dole who filibustered it, and that was it. He was against it. He said, no, we're not doing it. He didn't hold the floor for, you know, for 6 months.
Right.
And it never came up again.
Right. Right. Yeah, like I said, it's really old. It's old ways that they hold to, quote, a tradition, but it's a tradition that's just something that expired a long time ago. It shouldn't be that way.
No, and especially in this moment, we need to get some stuff done. We need a rescue package to help people make it through this. We need to get some stuff done to rebuild our economy, to rebuild our infrastructure. It's insane to me that we haven't had an infrastructure bill in, what, you know, 15 years?
Oh, yes, it's terrible. And, you know, the other thing that they could do, Schumer, if he wants to cut a deal, Schumer could cut a deal with McConnell saying, okay, look, you want to bring up certain things. We're not going to table what you bring up. We're going to have an up or down vote on it. You know, he could do some things like that, you know, in the process, which would be okay. But them trying to just sit there now and say, oh, okay, you know, McConnell doesn't like what's going on, so we're gonna delay the, which is ridiculous, by the way. We're gonna delay the impeachment, you know, 2 weeks, and we're gonna do this and that. What's it going to achieve? What are they going to get by doing that?
Yeah,
nothing.
This should have been over by now.
Oh yes, it should have. The day. Well, first of all, they should never have given Pence 24 hours. I don't think.
Nope.
You know, they should have just, here, we're going to impeach you or not. We don't care. We're not going to give you 24 hours. Number two, once they impeach, they should have transmitted it over. The longer this goes, the worse it is for a wide variety of reasons. The better it is for Trump. People today, Rick said, "Well, Bob, they're going to find new things." Well, guess what? The impeachment was sent over with a specific language. If they find new things, it doesn't matter. They're not going to go back and amend it.
No, and that's the thing. I mean, the further away from the sixth we get, the further down the road, the less the memory is there, the less the visceral reaction is there, and the more the argument of, well, Bob, we just need unity. Can't we just let this go for the good of the country so we can come together and heal? No, you got to hold these people accountable.
Right.
And that's where you know, I'm, you know, maybe I'm on the extreme. Every person who was in that Capitol, every person who crossed that threshold, they have to be held accountable. Now, those people who are outside who are listening to the speech and getting all lathered up and were screaming out on the curb, you leave them alone. Those people who crossed that threshold and entered the Capitol, those people who defecated on our floor and destroyed the property of our government, they have to be held accountable.
Right. And if anybody wants to, you know, think that, well, that's not the case of what you just said, go watch the video clips because they're sickening. And then the FBI and Justice, it was announced, they're having an internal debate whether to charge people or not. Why? Why would you even debate that? You're going to charge them.
I mean, the thing is you know, I got to think this was the only coup in history where the traitors actually videotaped themselves. There is video evidence of this going on. In fact, there is one researcher that before Parler went down, evidently, I didn't know you could do this, but evidently downloaded every Parler message, and saved the entire parlor archive for future generations to be able to look at just how insane we were, or those people were in that moment.
Wow. I didn't know you could do that.
I didn't either, but evidently this person was able to do it.
Wow.
It's a huge amount of data. But, mm-hmm. They hurried up and got it before they shut Parler off. And now Parler's going to I don't know if they're online yet or not, but they're going to be run out of Russia. Mm. Isn't that fun?
Yeah, right.
Let's move along. Crazy to me. Just absolute crazy to me.
Bizarre.
The big story for me, people hammering me over this Keystone XL pipeline. I want to get your thoughts. Everyone's like, you're a union guy. You should be fighting for those pipeline jobs. I feel bad. I feel really bad for the people who are going to lose jobs over this. But I don't know how we can move forward with the tar sands oil coming through the middle of our country and then still talk about how we're going to transition to a green economy. I just don't see how that happens.
Well, I think in the case, because I saw where there was, the buyer's remorse, the unions, quote, in quotes, the unions are now angry at him. I don't think that all unions across the board, obviously, and this, that are angry at him. There might be some specific people, and I understand that they would be angry. But also, here's the thing about it. He said where he was going with this.
Right.
This isn't like a shocker that... Well, wait a minute, Biden didn't say he was going to do that. We knew where he was going with this. So if people supported him, they supported him in a union sense for another wide variety of reasons. Not everybody, was, endeared to that issue. And, I agree. Anytime there's a job loss, you can say, well, I feel bad about it. But again, this wasn't a shocker. So if somebody supported him, and they were union, household. I don't think today they're saying, well, he did what he said he's going to do. I'm not going to be with him now. I think the vast majority are going to support him because they knew this was coming.
No, they knew it was coming. And as I keep telling people, this is one of those things that the anti-union crowd loves to use to divide people. See, your union didn't support these 8,000. The other 15.5 million of you, you should be angry about these 8,000. And look, these 8,000, they're going to find the next generation of job because they have the skills that we need to be able to move to the new technology. I hope we move fast enough to help them in the time that they need it. And again, this comes back down to voting in the Senate. But for me, the fact that on day one, Joe Biden by 5 o'clock fired Peter Robb, the NLRB general counsel. To me, that was worth celebrating, and anybody who's in a labor union should be thrilled by that, because by getting rid of him and his deputy, you're now going to have the NLRB doing the work that it should be doing,
right,
of ensuring sound, safe, reasonable organizing campaigns without bias, and I think that's a good thing.
Right, and I think overall it'll be, he will do definitely pro-union, items. Now, as far as this issue with the XL pipeline, Trudeau, the Prime Minister of Canada, is disappointed in the cancellation of the pipeline, but Trudeau made it very clear he's going to work with Biden. There's other fish to fry, So it's not where, even Trudeau, where it was so important, to the Canadians more than us, even he is not saying, well, that's it, I'm done. And to generically do the broad brush, which you're right, I've heard people on the right doing the broad brush, that you would have thought that he just took the National Labor Relations Board and canceled it.
Yeah.
The way that they're talking. Again, they knew where he was at. He campaigned on it. He clearly said what he was going to do with this.
I got to tell you, the firing of Peter Robin and his deputy,
big
to
deal.
Me, was a huge message.
Big. It's big.
Because
and he did it right. He did it right away.
Did it immediately by 5 o'clock
right.
on day one. And for
right.
me, the messaging that comes out of this, the symbolism, is what's important to me. Because
right.
Peter Robb was one of the guys who was behind Reagan when he fired the Patco workers.
Mm-hmm.
And it was one of those things where you go, that was kind of the shot heard around the boardroom that said it's open season on unions. So for me, the fact that he was canned, maybe this is the shot heard across the boardroom of, uh-oh, maybe those unions are going to start to organize again, and we've got to start doing something to work with them.
Right. And, Peter Robb was an American lawyer. Obviously, everybody knew exactly where he was at. And, a lot of people didn't think that Biden would act right away. They really didn't.
I didn't. I was calling for it in the weeks leading up to it. I was saying, I really hope he does it. This guy's terrible. I'd like to see him go. But I didn't actually think he would do it. And the fact that he pulled the trigger has sent me a message that this is a guy who's going to get some stuff done. And I'm thrilled about that. Last thing I got to get to with you. We've been talking about the Khashoggi murder for quite some time.
Sure.
I understand Adam Schiff has asked for the new intel chief to declassify the report so that maybe we get to find out exactly what we knew, when we knew it. Is that accurate?
Well, it is. And I think that if Schiff is successful, he's going to do a wonderful thing for transparency in the world, not just the United States, but in the world, of what's in that report leading towards Mohammed bin Salman, because we all know the only thing that saved Mohammed bin Salman, MBS, which I like to call him Mr. Bonesaw, as a side note, because that's what they call him behind his back in the kingdom. But MBS was ruthless. The only thing that saved him was the Trump administration support, and that allowed him to get past this and not be accountable at all. I hope Schiff is successful. I hope they reveal the insides, just like the 911 report that was held secret for so long.
Yeah, we need transparency. We need transparency.
Absolutely.
And people to be held accountable. It's that simple to me. But, Bob, I appreciate your time. Thanks so much, my friend.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Good stuff, our good friend Bob Nay. Look, I'm in the name of transparency, we absolutely do need to know what's in this report. Because, imagine a sitting U.S. president being, it's okay, it's our buddy. So you cut up a journalist into little pieces and carry them out in shopping bags. Sad, sad stuff. Quick break. Right back.
Saving work in America, one show at a time. The Rick Smith Show.